Goodvach, I hope you had a most enjoyable and incredible Shabbos. We study Nachyomi every single day, Lili Nishmas HaRav, Hillel B'Meir, Yechiel Mechel, Hareini Paras Nishkabo, and of course the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha. And today we are in the 10th parak of Yishayahu, who continues in this parak with his chastisement of Malchus Yisrael. And he says it's going to bring on more catastrophe. First he scolds them for allowing crooked lawmakers to enact laws which exploit the poor and allow the few rich people to take away the poor's property and rights. And because of these laws, the poor have no chance to obtain justice in the courts. And that's what he says. It causes it causes everyone to move around. And what are they going to do? Matasu liyom pekudo l'shoa memerchak tavo. What are they going to do when they're too far away? And the dark catastrophe from afar, which is the Shoah, the dark catastrophe, it's a reference to the final destruction of the northern kingdom by Shalmaneser, who went ahead and exiled the rest of the people. All of this happens, and still the people, Hashem's anger doesn't calm down, and the prophecy of the destruction ends. He says Hashem still hasn't calmed down, and even though there was a terrible catastrophe in the northern kingdom, in which all the resistance would collapse, and many people would be killed, and the rest would be led away in chains, and all of this came true while Yishayahu was still alive, and despite that realization, we have a right to believe that Yishayahu's admonishments and later Yirmiyahu's did have effect on some of the people. You see, the Chachamim tell us that in the Gemara in Megillah that Yirmiyahu HaNabi brought back the 10 Shvatim and Yoshio HaMelech ruled over them. Now those people were a very small part of each of the Shvatim that Yoshio had those abilities to rule. And those people who followed Yirmiyahu were probably Bali Tshuva, on whom the words of the Nevi'im had an effect. And once they came back to their ancestral property, Yoshio HaMelech did have control over Am Yisrael, which were in the parts of the lands which were formerly governed by Malchus Yisrael. However, after this reunification, everybody goes by the name of Yehudim to show us that what? That the legitimate part of Malchus is Malchus only under Yehuda. And Yishayahu now turns in Pasuk Hey about the destruction of Sanherib's army, even though he had conquered most of Eretz Yisrael and he expected to overrun Yerushalayim. But the night before their attack, Amalek came and killed out the army of 185,000 men. And that's what he describes in detail over here. Hoya Ashur Shevet Api Umatehu Biyadam Zami. Ashur is the rod of my fury, and my anger is the staff in their hands. Right? And so he explains that, look, Am Yisrael practiced flattery, where you're insincere in speech or action, and you do something only for appearance. And one who deals with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has to not be a machnef, he has to tell the truth. And the Nevuah describes the arrogance of Sancheiriv, who never dreamed that he was only being used by Hashem. Instead, he believed that he was a super king, and each of his officers was a king in his own right. And he bragged about his conquests by listing all the cities, which were sites of famous battles, all over the place. And he had conquered the vast majority of Eretz Yisrael. And he brags that he was strong enough to conquer all of those cities, which had more gods than Yerushalayim and Shomron. And he conquered Shomron despite its idols. And then he certainly would be able to conquer Yerushalayim, which he assumed would also have idols. However, Yishayahu tells us, Hashem had different plans, and so Bayaki Evatza Hashem es Koma Seu Bahar Tzion Yerushalayim Efkod. And after that, Hashem will have completed all of his work at Har Tzion and Yerushalayim, and then he'll hold the king of Ashur Efkod Al Pri Godal Levav Melech Ashur Bal Teferes Rumeinav. I'm going to hold the king of Ashur accountable for the fruits of his labors. Hashem used Sancheiriv to conquer Malchus Yisrael and most of the territory, but when he gets to Har Tzion, then his advance gets halted, and Hashem will punish him, attributing his success to his own power. And he quotes Sancheiriv's delusions. He says, when Sancheiriv conquered a country, he would remove the boundaries, which means he would move the people into different places. And based on this, when Chazal tell us that all the nations lost their identities, as the Gemara in Yuma says, which means as a result, halachically, we can't figure out who an Ammoni or who a Moavi is today for us to be able to say that there somebody can't be married into those groups, because somebody who lives in the place of Ammon or lives in the place of Moab is more likely that that person is not an Ammonite or a Moabite. And Sancheirv also attributed his victories to his intelligence, right? And he bragged that he would, because of his wisdom, he was able to tear down those boundaries and take the resources and reduce nothing to the once elite and powerful people. And that speech to himself continues. He talks about his strength. He talks about how his enemies were wiped away like a bird's nest, but he deluded himself into believing that he's the source of his own power, because, as the Navi tells us, he was therefore just a tool by Hashem. And since he had his arrogance and he didn't realize that he was a tool of Hashem, he's going to witness his own destruction, which is why when his whole army of 185,000 people were struck down by the Malach at the gate of Yerushalayim, Mishmanav, the fat ones, the princes, the noblemen, the high officers, were suddenly given leanness, meaning they got sickness and death. And the soldiers' deaths at the hand of the Malach, they were in their best military regalia, they were under their regal uniforms, they died, but their body and clothing stayed intact. And it was sort of like the Srefas Neshama that is described in the death of Nadab and Abihu. And under the kavod, under the clothing, that that they were able to, they were under the clothing, which is called kavod, we see that what they were still dead. Sancheirv himself was spared, and he went back to Nineveh to tell about his own downfall, to recognize that it was all from Hashem. It's interesting on this concept of referring to clothing as kvodo, where Schwab stops to tell us that that's so funny. Today, in an ironic sort of way, we wear less clothing and we think that that's a kavod. It's not. The real kavod of a person is to feel that he or she has a certain sense of dignity, and not everything is out in the open. And here, he took over the people, and there will be a small number, Ushar Eitz Yaro Mispar Yu V'Nar Yechtevim. The leftover trees of the forest of Sancheirv will be a small number, and a child's going to write them. What he means to say, it's a countable number, and during the destruction of Sancheirv's army, only a very small number of soldiers are left unscathed, so small that even a young child who has the ability to write that number down. That seems to suggest like a letter Yud, which is 10. That's all that was left. So what happens after Ashur was there? So Yishayo continues in Pasuk Chav, and he says, on that day, Hashem will not add, no longer lean, that the Beis Yaakov won't have to lean on a stick. It's going to reference the fact that in the future, the people will be able to rest on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the end, the Shar Yashuv, the remnant, will remain to Hashem. Because why? Because the Am Yisrael would have the chance to grow, and they will be able to avoid total destruction. And the destruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the army of Assyria under Sancheirv, will be an event which becomes known to the entire world. And Yishayo encourages Chizkiyo not to be afraid of Sancheirv. And so the Assyrians in Sancheirv already put great damage on Eretz Yisrael and conquered the northern kingdom, and they were poised to take Yerushalayim, and they struck the Jewish people with their rod. Now they have their rods raised, threatening only the remnant of the people. And with the conquest of Yerushalayim, the Yishayo says, it won't last much longer. They're going to wind up turning away. And Yishayo reassures Chizkiyo and the inhabitants of Yerushalayim that a miracle was going to happen compared to other periods in Jewish history. And picturing Sancheirv as a landowner who was harnessed and yoked Yisrael like an ox, all of a sudden that yoke will be taken off of you. And Chizkiyo turned around and used the opportunity to take off the yoke and force the people to take the opportunity to go ahead and study Torah. The Navi prophesizes a description of the days leading up to the downfall of Sancheirv, He now has only a few days' march, and in the Psukim he lists the cities that he overran, and he leaves his heavy equipment at Michmash to lighten the load. And coming from the northeast, he now approaches his last objective. And the Chacham tell us that Sancheirib was told by his astrologers that he has to take Yerushalayim that day, or he won't be successful. So when he got to Nov, and he had the panoramic view of Yerushalayim, and he saw that he was going to be able to not do anything, and when he got to Nov, he thought it was a small, weak city, and he said, "This is what I ran for? This is tiny. And I'll give my soldiers a good opportunity to rest, and tomorrow I'll take care of things." And that was the evil night, that destroyed him. This last couple of psukim in the Perek Yud also serve as the Haftorah for Achron Shel Pesach, which is also the opportunity that is read on the 5th of Iyar in certain places in Eretz Yisrael, Od Hayom Benov La'amod, that you think that you're in the last vestiges and a tiny broken part of Am Yisrael is going to be easily attacked by its enemies, but that's not the way that things happen. Behold, Hashem will cut off the proud branches with overwhelming power. And the great people, the great leaders of the world, think that they're going to do big things. They're going to get destroyed. And what happens? Which will, of course, there will be a shoot from the trunk of Yishai and a blossom from the roots, which will be a reference to the Melech HaMashiach. And of course, that description and the continuation of the Haftorah will be part of what we will discuss when we meet again tomorrow. Everyone have a fantastic day and a wonderful, terrific Bach.